Welcome to the Focus Church Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
Ephesians chapter 6, we're in a series titled Armed and Dangerous. We've been looking at the armor of God. I trust that it has been beneficial and helpful for you. I trust that every component of the armor of God has equipped you better to fight the spiritual battles that we face every single week. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Father, not my words today, but yours. Not my sermon today, but yours. This church belongs to you. This isn't my church. This is your church. And you will build this house, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I pray for anyone who feels like they don't have the security of their salvation or the identity of being rescued and saved. I pray that by the end of our time together, they would have buckled the helmet of salvation under their chin and walk out of here able to stand firm when the enemy attacks. We love your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if there is anyone in our midst today at all of our locations that has never received salvation, I pray that today they would be suited with the helmet of salvation for the very first time. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s. I don't know if there are any products of the 80s with us today. I was born in 1987. Don't get up and leave. All right. All the old people are like, I can't be here with that preacher being that young. Well, you're here now. Don't get up right now. Get up later, you know, when it's less distracting. In 1987, there were no nets around trampolines. Come on, somebody. Y'all got nets around your trampolines. No wonder we got the problems that we got. In 1987 and in the early 90s, there was no baby gates around the swimming pools. You just had to pay attention. If you fell into the pool, you got to get yourself out of that pool. If you scraped your knee, your dad would just throw dirt on it. Get back out there. In 1987, there was no cancer around the electrical green box. Y'all know the green electrical box in the neighborhood? Ain't nobody saying nothing in this church. Either they're really old, or they're really young, one or the other. There was an electrical box, and there would be bikes around it. We would all just sit there. In the early 90s, there was no helmets. We had the mom seatbelt. Y'all remember the mom seatbelt? It was the mom seatbelt. Ain't no bubble wrap these kids. You know, we didn't put no helmets on them to take a shower, you know? It's like, y'all be putting helmets on kids nowadays just to go to Chick-fil-A. So we didn't grow up with helmets. Helmets were optional. And I have a friend who rides a motorcycle, and I was talking about the sermon. I said, have you ever dropped your bike before? And he said, I've dropped it once or twice. And which is, you know, I won't mention his name because that's kind of embarrassing, but Dr. Hudson was telling me that he dropped his bike twice. And I asked him, I said, did you have your helmet on when you dropped your bike? And he said, of course. He says, in some states it's optional, but for me, it's mandatory. And I don't know about you, but salvation is not optional. Salvation is mandatory. You have to be saved in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot live forever in heaven unless you have been saved. And so today we need to know about the helmet of salvation, because eternity is contingent on your salvation. And we have to know that the most crucial part of our body that the helmet protects is the mind. It's the mind. How many of you know you can lose your mind? In the ancient world, the helmet did two things for the soldier. The helmet provided safety, and it provided identity. This helmet kept the brain or the head of the soldier safe. And then this red mohawk is not just for looks. This red mohawk identified the rank and army that the soldier belonged to. That way you weren't throwing arrows at the wrong guy. I'm one of you. You know, don't hit me with an arrow. The same is true for our salvation. Our salvation gives us safety and security, and it establishes our identity into the family of God. Now, what you need to understand is that salvation and the helmet of salvation protects the mind. What is salvation? Well, salvation provides the Christian soldier with their identity and their safety in Christ. If you're taking notes today, you should have been handed a note card on your way in. You need to know that we are made up of three different parts. We have our spirit, which is in our heart. We have our soul, which is in our mind. And we have our body, which is our flesh. We are triune. We have three different parts operating all at the same time. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, here's what happens when you get saved. Your spirit is saved. Your spirit comes to the knowledge of saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you are saved, you're saved. But it takes time for your soul and your body to catch up. That's why some of you are saved, but you still cuss. Ain't nobody saying nothing in this church. I've heard some of the parents in the parking lot trying to get their kids in the car. And they weren't praying for their kids. Like their body was speaking to their kids, not their spirit. I've seen some of y'all on Facebook. See, salvation of our spirit is automatic. You don't have to strive or work for it. Christ covered that, but salvation for our soul takes work. Now, that work is called the process of sanctification. I am as saved as I was when I was 8 years old and I walked the aisle and came to the front of the church, but I am more in tune with what the Spirit has for my life because for the past 30 plus years, I have now walked with the Lord. I'm not going to a different level of heaven, but I can see different things here on earth. Sanctification doesn't get you to another level of heaven. You don't get the penthouse of heaven because you're sanctified, but you do get discernment of spirits. That's why baby Christians still do the same things that they used to do because they've yet to mature in the Lord. But when you are saved, your spirit is saved, but your soul takes work. That's why the people of God, when they were freed from generational slavery out of Egypt, weren't allowed to go directly into the promised land. You want to know why? They were free in their bodies, but they yet to be free in their minds. See, you can get me out of Egypt, but it takes time to get the Egypt out of me. I'm preaching today. Some of you have been out of Egypt, but now God is working on getting the Egypt out of you. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. They set up and tear down portable church planting all the time. The tabernacle went up and came down until they could step into the promised land. They weren't ready to receive. Some of you aren't ready to receive the promises of God because you've yet to get the Egyptian mentality. There was even a time where they asked Moses to take them back. It'd be better in Egypt. At least we could eat. At least we had a roof. They were slaves for 400 years. Slavery was so ingrained into their mindset that they wished they would go back instead of go forward. Philippians 2:12 says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." You got to work on that thing. I'm saved, but I'm working on it. I'm saved, but I'm working on it. I wake up every day, I'm saved. The blood of Jesus covers all my sins, but I'm still going to work it out with fear and trembling. I'm not going to get casual with my calling. I'm not going to get casual with my salvation. Instead, I'm going to work it out. Where's the primary battle for many believers? It's in our minds. Great preacher Joyce Meyer, she has a book called The Battlefield of the Mind. Why? Because between our ears is where we tend to fight the most. It's right up here. It's right up here. Where the mind goes, the man follows. Where the mind goes, the man follows. And what you think eventually determines how you act. If you want to change your actions, you got to change your thoughts. Remember when you used to think $5 was $1 million? Do you remember that when you were a kid? Someone gave you $5? Now what? $5 can't get you a shoelace. You got to change your thoughts. A lot of Christians, they're saved, but they settle for what I call stinking thinking. They got the Eeyore syndrome. Oh, man. I'm just not good enough. I'll just always be this way. The weather is great outside, but they're like, oh, there's one. I see a cloud. Oh, it's so hot. When it's cold, it's like, it's so cold. When it's loud, they're loud in church, they're like, it's so loud, Pastor. And then when it's soft, they're like, it's not loud enough. You tend to gravitate towards negative thinking. And when you gravitate towards negative thinking, you wonder why you have a negative life. You wonder that why you can't experience the fullness of salvation, the greatness of God and the fullness of God, because you're gravitating towards negative thinking. I'll just never get better. I'm always going to be this way. My dad was that way. And my granddad was that way. That's just how it's going to be. I catch myself battling this all the time, and I have to fight it. I have to fight my thoughts. I have to arrest every thought that is not of God. And as a matter of fact, Proverbs 23:7 in the New King James says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So how we think is how we live, how we act. So we need to do what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, and that is to take captive every thought, and then what? To make it obedient to Christ. Amen. What does that mean? I'm responsible for how I think. You know what? I'm responsible. I'm responsible for my mindset. My mindset is my responsibility. You know, what's interesting is when you have little children, I don't know if you've had little kids before, but when you have little kids and they misbehave, you make them obey. I did, at least. I don't know about you. My mom made me obey. Belt, wooden spoon, chanclas. I mean, I might be a child of the 80s, but my mom grew up in Eufaula, Alabama. And this might get her in trouble. I hope the statute of limitations is over. But one time, I got into so much trouble, she said, go out there and get a switch. I'm not talking about this anything. Back in the day, it was like, I still have the mark. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because she made me obey. Some of you got rebellious thoughts. And you can't put your thoughts in time out. You need to arrest your thoughts and serve an eviction notice and say, I'm taking you captive. You can't live here anymore. So I've come from the power of the Holy Spirit with my pastoral authority to serve a warrant for the arrest of every negative thought that you've been thinking. You are not that way. That is who you used to be, but not who God has called you to be. I'm preaching today. Do you hear that sound? That's the sound of the police serving an eviction notice, a warrant for the arrest of every negative thought, every negative mindset, every poverty mentality, every demonic activity, every stronghold, every negative thought you've ever thought. It's got to go right now in Jesus' name. I declare and decree over your mind that you would have the mind of Christ, that you would not have the mind of the world. It says in Romans 12, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't just want God's good will. I want his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do I get God's will? Change my mind. I just don't know what the will of God is. Start thinking differently. I'll just always be this way. You wonder. You wonder. You got to arrest that thought. Click, click, click. You know what that sound is? That's the sound of the handcuffs for every thought that does not belong in my mind. I wish they had a cops show for the negative thoughts in my mind. We'd be running. I got another one. Click, click, click. Open up. That's the sound of the police. I'm responsible for my thoughts. This church will be a portal from heaven. This church will survive. I will preach boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will not try to infiltrate my mind with thoughts of inadequacy or thoughts of lack. Why? Because I am responsible for my thoughts. You got to think differently. When your mind gets transformed, you get new identity and you get security, which comes from the helmet of salvation. So how to think differently if you're taking notes today. I like to fire you up and then give you practical so you don't just like, oh, it's good, but I don't remember what to do next. I got you. Double barrel. Both. Here's how to think differently. Number one is you have to think differently about who you are. See, growing up, I was the class clown. I was the funny one, the rebellious one. I was the kid that just didn't really pay attention too much. I didn't do really good. Some of you got more degrees than a thermometer. I just barely made it. Like, I was scrounging, you know? And if I'm not careful, anytime I went up to say something or anytime I went to present a class project, the class clown identity would actually be thrust upon me. But that's not how it works. You are not the sum total of your mistakes. You are not what the enemy tries to whisper in your ear. You are not the result of a generational curse. I came to declare to somebody today, there are strongholds breaking. You should know that even in Jewish culture, they tended to label people based on their issue. We have woman with the issue of blood. We have blind Bartimaeus. We have the demoniac who was demon-possessed. I could go on and on and on. The rich young ruler. It was not based on who they were. It was based on what they did or an issue that they had. But I came to tell you to never let your label limit you. Take the label off. I am not the class clown I used to be. I am a child of God. You are not a person who goes from relationship to relationship to relationship. You are a daughter of the King, destined for greatness. You are not in generational poverty. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You are blessed and highly favored. Why? Because I'm not going to let your label limit me. It's interesting because we have this great example of Peter. If you're a theologian, you'll enjoy this. This is for all the deep thinkers. The great disciple, he's the founder of the church. Jesus looks at him and says, upon this rock, talking to Peter, which translates to Petra in Spanish, how do you say rock? Piedra. Yeah, it's related to rock. Upon this rock, I will build the church. But he didn't start named as Peter. His first name was Simon, and Simon is a Greek nickname that means snub-nosed or flat-nosed. Imagine going around your whole life where people called you based on an issue or something to do with your appearance. That would make my name like receding hairline Mike. Stressed out because this church ain't being built, receding hairline Mike. That would make some of y'all's name other things, right? But that's not how it worked. Snub nose is basically what they call them. Flat nose. Hey, flat nose, come over here. Flat nose. And if you hear something long enough, you start to believe it. And once you start to believe something, you start to become it. So when Jesus in John 1:42 meets Simon, this is what he says. You are Simon, son of John. But then he goes, you shall be called Cephas, which is translated to Peter. Jesus is in the business of changing your name. whoo, Jesus is in the business of not letting you believe the lie that was spoken over you for so long. Jesus is in the business of transforming what you think about yourself into what he thinks about you. You are no longer Simon. You are now Cephas. You are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Woo. Peter means rock. Woo. The same snub-nosed guy. When you change his name, the church is built on him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. It's right now. New is here right now. That's why I love that the kids went to camp and the leaders went to camp this week. We took 80 kids and leaders to camp. And to God be the glory, they are not who they were last week. Yeah. You've received a new identity. You've received a new name. You are, and this is not hype. This is not just summertime hype. This is a genuine encounter with God that transforms the identity of who they once were. These are mountaintop moments. Moses met with God, where Jesus met with God. And now these students have gone to the mountaintop to meet with God, and their faces shine with the glory of God. So we're not going to stifle it. We're not going to push it to the side. We're not going to say that's just a phase. Instead, we are going to embrace their new identity. They aren't just rebellious teenagers. They aren't just a bunch of good-for-nothing sons and daughters. They are children of God, destined for greatness. And anytime they need something, counsel or advice, I'm going to give it to them. Why? Because I believe in the next generation. This church belongs to them. They are the church of today and the leaders of tomorrow. So we have to know that they're home with a new name. They're home with a new identity. And that you are not the issue that you had. Yes. My issue is not my identity. And you have to reinforce that with your children. Because they're getting told so many things on the internet. They're getting told so many things in the school system. So much is getting reinforced into their brains that they will think that they are not enough. So you have to remind them of the security that comes with the helmet of salvation. Yes. You don't have to worry about what they think about you, because what God thinks about you is what matters most. We have to confirm who they are in Christ, because culture will do a great job at telling them who they are not. Failure is an event, not a person. I grew up, my dad would listen to Zig Ziglar. I don't know if you know who Zig Ziglar is. I think he's passed, but his son has taken over. It's like a leadership. Cassette tape books would come in the mail. Y'all know cassette tapes. I don't got time to teach y'all about cassette tapes. My dad would get these cassette tapes every single month, and he put it in the car, and we didn't listen to nothing but Zig Ziglar. And he'd say, oh, at the end of every tape, he'd say, I'll see you at the top. And then one time he'd say, failure is an event, not a person. It's that you know that you might be messed up, but you are not a mess up. You might have messed up, but you are not a messed up. Here's what you are. I want to give you practical things. Number one, you are chosen. God chose you. Before the beginning of time, he destined, predestined you. He fashioned you together in your mother's womb. He knew exactly what he was doing when he brought you to this earth. You are not an accident. You are not the result of your parents, wasted time. You are chosen and ordained by God. This church is chosen. We are a holy people, a royal priesthood. You are also appointed. There's an assignment on your life. There's a reason for your existence. You are not just living on earth and just kind of coasting along. There is an appointed season. You are on this earth for such a time as this. There is someone in your life. There is someone in your life that you are appointed to redeem and to see rescue. The next thing is, you are redeemed. You were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. God thought so highly of you to send his own son down to purchase you with his own son's blood. As a matter of fact, God loves you as much as he loved Jesus. What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. No height, no depth, no demon, no angel. There's nothing that can separate you from... Okay, you're also called. You need to know this. You're called. You're called. You have a purpose on your life. You've also been transformed. You've been changed. You are no longer who you were. You are someone new in Jesus' name. You are also an overcomer. Everything in your way, everything between you and God's design for your life, you are more than a conqueror for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not the victim. You are a victor in Jesus' name. Victory in Jesus. In Jesus' name, you are a victor. If you're sick in your body today, you're healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus, the blood of Jesus did not stop short for your disease. His stripes were shed for your healing in Jesus' name. If you are sick in your body, you are healed in Jesus' name. Stop thinking that it's just going to be chronic disease for the rest of your life. Stop thinking that it runs in the family. You are healed in Jesus' name. You're prepared. God has prepared you for this. There's nothing that you cannot handle. God prepared this well in advance. He prepared you for this season and for the battle that you're facing in Jesus' name. You're also gifted. You got something that nobody else has. There's a charis, a grace gift. The original word is charis, which is a grace gift on you. You have something inside of you that nobody else can do. That's why I don't go do this in the kids ministry. I'm not gifted for it. That's why I don't sing, or I try not to sing, because I don't got the charis for it. But there are so many people at the sound of my voice that are gifted, and if you don't leverage that charis gift, that grace gift, then you will go, you're selling yourself short from being used by God. That's why I love Party with the Pastor, because Party with the Pastor gets you into the gift usage of your life. You can now see your purpose fulfilled. You are surrounded by so many people today. When I walked in this morning early, the safety team here at the location that I'm at, they were just praying together, and I was like, man, they are just... They were praying for you. They were praying for every seat. I'm like, man, they are so gifted at knowing what they're going to do in case anything, any harm might come our way. And lastly, you are forgiven. You're forgiven. Just know that your sins are so far gone. If you have confessed Christ as your Savior, you are saved. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Your helmet brings you identity. Number two, and I'll have the musicians can come up here. Play me off this stage. You have to think differently about what you do. There's a lot of debate about doing things different ways. You know, people fight over whether the toilet paper roll should be upwards or downwards. And people fight whether or not the sandwich should be cut in a triangle or in a half. You know, and people, there is no debate really. But some people think that you can actually put pineapples on pizza and things like that. There's a lot of debate as to like whether Popeyes or Chick-fil-A is like a bunch of debates. But where the helmet of salvation comes in, not only does he transform your identity, but he also transforms the way you do things. Now I can do things with safety. I can do things with security. God is not trying to control your life, but he is trying to make your life in such a way where you are in his good, perfect, and pleasing will. God is not a God of restriction. He's actually a God of freedom. But many times when you're not walking in the will of God, it feels like restriction. It's like a fish. You never see a fish blaming the water for keeping it trapped. Oh, if I could just get on this earth, if I could just get out of this water, I'd be free. If I could just get out of this water, I'd be fine. No, you would never, a fish would not do that because a fish has freedom within the confines of its environment. The same is true for a believer. You have freedom within the confines of the environment of your salvation. Once you're saved and secure, then you're living your life within the guardrails. I can't go where I used to go because I'd rather be in the water. I can't do this. I'd rather do that. Why? Because you have to start changing what you do and changing how you think. Paul says it this way in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the peace of God will be with you. There's the other side is destructive. Like, I want to think about what's true, not what's false. Thinking about what's false will destroy me. I don't want to think about what's scandalous. I want to think about what's noble. I don't want to think about what's wrong. I want to think about what's right. I don't want to think about what's dirty. I want to think about what's pure. Are you getting me today? Are you hearing me today? I don't want to think about hate-filled speech or hate-filled life or be full of hate. I want to think about the things that are lovely. I don't want to dishonor. I want to admire and honor. And I don't want to gossip. I want to be someone that thinks about praise and be praiseworthy. See, we do it differently in church. We do it differently as believers. We do it differently as Christians. We can't default to what the world defaults to. We have to default to thinking differently. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we of Christ. You've been given a new mind today. So you got to change your mindset. Are you with me? Here's some quick mindset changes. Number one, I am not living for self. I'm living to serve. It's not about me anymore. I'm now part of the kingdom of God. So how can I serve the kingdom? I'm not holding grudges. I forgive quickly. Many of you are trapped in Egypt because you haven't forgiven someone from 10 years ago. That person isn't thinking about you. You're thinking about them. You're scrolling all the way down on their timeline, checking to see what they're doing. They haven't thought about you in a long time. A mature believer learns to not hold grudges because I got to think forward thoughts. I can't be living in the past. Living in the past is going back to Egypt, but I have to be quick to forgive. How quickly did God forgive you? Next mindset shift. I'm not managing sin. I'm walking in freedom. I'm not just sinful on these days of the week and at this pocket of time or at this place and at this time. I'm free from any sin that dominated my soul. I'm free. I'm walking in freedom. I'm not alone. I'm a vital part of the family of God. You are not alone today. If you're here in this building, and if you're at any of our locations, you are not by yourself. You are an integral part of the family of God. I'm not looking at people as my problem. I'm looking at people as my purpose. That neighbor that never takes his trash, never brings his trash cans in, or doesn't mow his lawn. That coworker that burns the popcorn every single week. Those aren't your problem. Those are your purpose. God has put you in their place in order for you to be a light in the dark world. I'm not giving up. I'm just getting started. You got to know that your mindset can change. I'm reminded of the circus. For all the kids in here, there used to be this thing called the circus. It used to come to town, and there would be a big tent in town, and you know they would have lions and tigers and bears and trained animals. Yeah, y'all remember the circus, acrobats? And, you know, we didn't go to the circus that much, but I was doing some research on poor thinking, and they would take baby elephants and they would drive a stake into the ground, and they would tie the baby elephant to the stake in the ground. And the stake, when the baby elephant was small, it was strong enough to hold the elephant. And over the years, wherever they went to city, they would drive the same stake in the ground, and they would have the same rope would tie to the elephant, but the elephant got bigger and stronger. But because the elephant was so conditioned, because in its formative years it had been fastened to a stake that it could not pull, it now thought in its mind that it could never be free. Many of you are way stronger than you used to be, but you're still thinking as though you are attached to things that you've been set free from. The elephant could easily say, no, I'm gonna remove myself from this stake. But because it was so ingrained in their mind, every time they felt that rope around their leg, they never moved. Some of you haven't moved in a long time because your thinking is so elementary. Your thinking is so negative. But I want to let you know today, you are a child of God, fastened with the helmet of salvation, and your mind can be renewed. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The enemy cannot have a foothold over your life anymore. If you begin to think as an overcomer and as a victor, you are no longer the victim. In Jesus' name, I break off every generational curse that keeps you thinking small. I break off every generational curse that keeps you worried about your future. I break off any generational curse that makes you think that you're just going to follow in the footsteps of your father or your grandfather or your mother. And I say, be free from every stronghold and have a renewed mind. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to pray for you today, a quick prayer of blessing, that at all of our locations today that you would receive a renewed mind. In Jesus' name, right now, renewed minds. Don't think the way that you used to think anymore. You're a child of God, destined for greatness. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. God loves you. He loves you immensely, poured out his spirit and his son for you. So change the way you think in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, shifting mindsets right now. Shifting mindsets right now. We put on the helmet of salvation and we walk out boldly and confidently that our mind is the mind of Christ. Maybe you say, I've never received Christ before. I don't know what it even means to be a believer. If that's you today at all of our locations, I want to give you a quick opportunity just to raise your hand and say, I want a renewed mind for the first time. I've never given my life to Christ, but I'm ready to live differently. If that's you today at all of our locations, in just a moment, I want you to be ready to raise your hand when I say three. Our teams are going to be prepared just to slip a little gift into your hand. We will not call you out. We will not embarrass you. But I do think it is important for you to recognize your need for a renewed mind for the first time. If you've never been saved and you do not have the mind of Christ, I want to give you that opportunity right now. One, if that's you today, you're feeling it. Don't let the enemy whisper any lies into your heart. If you're feeling it in your heart, that's an indication that the Lord is trying to get your attention today, that you may come home and be saved so that you can put on the helmet of salvation for the very first time. Two, be ready and be bold. Don't be hesitant. This is your moment right now to step into freedom, for who the Son sets free is free indeed. And you will forever remember this day, July 2nd of 2023, was the day you surrendered your life to Christ and your mind was renewed. One, two, three. Shoot your hand up in the air, high enough so that I can see it. Shoot it up in the air. Shoot it up. Shoot it up. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Anybody else? Shoot it up now. Now is the time. Don't hesitate. Thank you, Jesus. For the sake of those who just raised their hand at all of our locations, let's pray this prayer together. Say, Father God, repeat after me. Say, Father God, I give my life to you. I repent of my sins. Thank you for giving me the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Come on, let's clap our hands for God's word today.
Thanks again for joining us, and thank you to those who give generously to make the ministry possible. You can click the link in our description to give now or visit givetofocus.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe, share it with your friends, and while you're at it, take a screenshot and share it on your social stories and tag us at MyFocusChurch. We'd love to hear how God is speaking to you.